I want to thank you for tuning in to Steadfast Hope. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Lawson. This is, as always, Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop, if you can believe that, here in Dallas, Texas. And so we have a great study in store. I want you to be finding your Bible, if you're able to, and turn with me to Acts chapter 17. And today we want to talk about our all-sufficient God, that God is all-sufficient for everything in our lives. And so I want to begin with Acts 17, verses 24 and 25. Paul is at Mars Hill, and he's giving this incredible sermon. And he says, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." Here we see the doctrine of the all-sufficiency of God, that God owns everything, God created everything, God gives everything, and therefore also God needs nothing. That there are no gaps in God, that there are no limitations to God. He has all possessions, and there's no hole in his holiness. And so therefore, there's nothing that we can bring to God to fill a need in God's life. It's the total reverse. We are totally dependent upon God for everything. For life, for breath. In verse 28, following this, he says, "In him we live and move and exist." And so God is autonomous from us. He is independent. We are totally dependent upon God for physical life, for spiritual life, for spiritual strength, wisdom, for everything. So we need to have this right perspective about who God is. So let's just think about some different categories, if you will, of the sufficiency of God. The first that comes to mind is that God does not need our counsel. He doesn't need our wisdom. He doesn't need our bringing to him the latest of what's going on down here in the world, as if God does not know this. Romans 11 and verse 33 or verse 34 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" And the answer to that is no one. So we do not bring our perspective to God on how things ought to work out. We can bring our petitions, but it is always to be held in an open hand, knowing that God knows what is best. And so God is self-exalting. No one has put God on the throne. No one has enthroned God as the being over all things. Psalm 103, verse 19 says, "God has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty reigns over all." So no one voted God in to be God. God, who is self-sufficient, has always been God. God is also self-content within himself. He does not need anything as far as circumstances to take place here upon the earth. In order for God to be blessed, to be content, in good days, in bad days, whatever the occurrences are here, God is self-content within himself. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15 says that God is the blessed God. And that word Makarios means basically to the effect his own self-being, his own self-happiness, his own self-joy is actually dependent upon himself. And God is self-giving. Everything in the universe has come flowing out of God. Everything in our lives has come flowing out of God. And so admittedly, Kent, this is a lot to get our arms around. And we just talked for 5 minutes about the immensity of the sufficiency of God. So let's talk about this and how this really should work out in a practical way in our own lives.
Well, I think you're right. It is a lot to think about. And I think if we can just talk about maybe some application and maybe where we don't apply it and we should. But I think the first question that comes to mind, Steve, is it's just natural to think that I believe in God and He's in control of the big things. But how much is it that He is in control of the minute little things in our lives, just the smallest things, whether it be the stoplight or the phone call or the common cold? How does that work?
Kent, I was actually thinking about that as I drove here this morning. And I'm always here early.
Uh-huh. And but I was here earlier.
This is the only time I think you got here before me. And as I was driving out there on Central Expressway, and there was traffic, and I was having to wait for a light, I actually was thinking about that. I'm just dependent upon God to get me here on time. And obviously, I'm human responsibility to wake up early. And I woke up at 1:30 this morning, Ken. Oh, yeah. Very, very early. Yeah. So that wouldn't
even go to sleep.
Right? Yeah, that wasn't even the deal. But I just knew that my dependency is on God. Mm-hmm. Just even for me to be here. I think about it when I fly on airplanes and they cancel a flight and I'm supposed to be someplace and I'm supposed to preach, etc. I'm just dependent upon God for it all. And Kent, you know, I fell a couple weeks ago and I hurt myself. And I realized I'm dependent upon God even to heal up, mm-hmm. To be put back, to be restored where I can function again, which God did. I'm dependent upon God to provide physical resources, financial resources. I'm dependent upon God to keep me well. And if I'm sick, I'm dependent upon Him and His perfect timing, prayerfully to make me well. So it all comes back to God. Mm-hmm. And I think of Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, mm-hmm. I shall not want.
Steve, I was reading that this morning.
Is that right?
Yes. Thinking about that.
Yeah. And think about that. Seriously. I mean, we memorized that when we were kids in Sunday school. But the reality of that becomes more profound as we grow older. Mm-hmm. That I shall not want.
Yeah.
That God is everything mm-hmm. to me. He is my source. He is my provider. Mm-hmm. He is my protector. Mm-hmm. So as you were thinking about it, Kent, what were you thinking about
well,
as you read it?
I was just
it?
Saying, so what you're saying is that the littlest things, if someone doesn't show up for an appointment or we're introduced to someone we've never met before. Also, Steve, talk about this. The little things he's involved in, I guess you're saying, are what make him able to control the big things as well, right?
Absolutely.
So I guess the next question is, what about the things that are unpleasant in our lives? What about issues maybe with our children or with our health or with loved ones that are unpleasant? Is that out of his control? How does that work?
Yeah, Kent, phenomenal question. And let me just say on the very front end, God is not the author of evil. Mm-hmm. He's not the author of sin. Mm-hmm. So when we say God is in control of everything, we do not mean that He is the one who has authored sin in the hearts of people. Having said that, there is nothing in this entire universe that is outside the parameters of God's sovereign control. He even sets the limits to which evil can go or to which sin can go. Mm-hmm. And so I would put it this way. God causes some things. He allows other things. Mm-hmm. But He controls all things.
Wow.
And all He's causing all things to work together for good. So He can take even those unpleasant things that you're talking about. Even our own failures, even our own sin, and work for good through that to humble us, to cause us to love Christ and his grace and his forgiveness even more. There's a purpose that God is always working through in our lives. So thank you for joining us today on Steadfast Hope. Admittedly, we just stepped into some deep water because we're talking about God and who God is. But just know that he is all sufficient and he alone is able to meet every need that you have in your life. God bless you. May you turn to him.